At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. A federal appeals court has upheld the Texas voter identification law, reversing a lower court ruling that found it discriminatory. Today's 2-1 decision by the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals is a victory for Republican lawmakers who've spent years defending what critics say is one of the toughest voter ID measures in the nation. According to the Texas Tribune, the federal court says the state legislature had succeeded in its goal of addressing flaws in the voter ID law. Governor Greg Abbott signed a revised law last year that allows people to vote without an acceptable ID as long as they sign an affidavit. At West Texas, oil production is ramping up again, and the schools are seeing record enrollment. Around Odessa, the big question for the Ector County School District: where to put all these kids? Sally Beauvais with Marfa Public Radio has more.
It's fourth period at Permian High School in Odessa. You may have heard of it, home of the Permian Panthers, the starring football team in Friday Night Lights. But today we're in Valerie Hammett's pre-calculus class. And just like Coach Taylor, she's not going to let her kids quit.
It's impossible to get 60 kids to be quiet at the same time. Not only be quiet, but listen.
You heard her right. 60 kids. She had half that until the school lost another math teacher to a higher-paying job with an oil company. It can be hard to retain math and science teachers in the booming Permian Basin, where they're recruited for oil field jobs that pay six figures.
Trust me, I'm on LinkedIn just because of my math degree and data analysis. People contact me and I'm like, oh, it's tempting. It's very tempting.
For now, she's staying put, even as her classroom bursts at the seams. Jose Carrasco is a senior in Hammett's pre-cal class.
Well, Ms. Hammett is just moving around the whole time, so she really doesn't have time to help everyone.
Carrasco moved from the Dallas area to Odessa because of his dad's job in the oil field, like so many other kids. You can see it in school parking lots, license plates from Oklahoma and Pennsylvania, other states with big oil economies.
Going between classes, it gets really crowded. It's really hard just to walk, just to get from class to class.
Permian High School was built decades ago for about 2,500 students. Next school year, it's projected to have around 4,100. And nearly every campus in the district is feeling that kind of growth.
Now that everything's on the uptick again, our projections are frightening again in terms of numbers.
Roy Garcia is the assistant superintendent of secondary schools in Odessa.
We already need more elementary school, middle schools, and high schools.
But the community voted down a bond last year that would have funded the building of more schools and facilities.
Our community takes a lot of pride in being considered a very conservative community, which is why sometimes we won't pass bond issues. And, you know, our tax rate is low. You know, that's the way the community wants it.
Garcia also says people who've lived here for a long time might hesitate to invest more money in the schools because they remember the busts that have always followed the good times in the past. But this enrollment increase held steady in the schools through the last bust in 2014, and it only seems to be getting bigger.
At some point, you have to say, well, where's our priority for our kids?
The Permian Basin is one of the lowest performing public school regions in Texas, and the Ector County ISD schools lag even further behind. Garcia says the strain of growth isn't helping that problem. A new bond committee is forming this month and putting a school building proposal together for next year. That'll include possibly adding a third high school, which is unpopular with some of the folks in the community because of
the tradition and the pride that goes into having the two high schools, Permian and Odessa High.
Mike Adkins is the school district's communications director. We're sitting in the cafeteria at the other major high school, Odessa High.
That rivalry and the great memories for everybody who went through here, and they want that for their own kids, versus is it a better idea to have a third high school?
Which would create smaller learning environments. He says there's also concern about diluting the talent pool on the football field, especially when it comes to the Permian Panthers. Back in her pre-cal class, Valerie Hammett says this semester is testing her limits. She regularly spends 12-hour days at work, and she doesn't get paid for the extra time.
I just think about today. If I think about tomorrow, I get tired.
And how many days until graduation?
38. 37 and a half now.
But who's counting? In Odessa, I'm Sally Beauvais.
Raising a family in South Dallas can be difficult. Property taxes are rising, neighborhoods are changing, and gentrification seems to loom over the heads of working-class families. In this week's State of the Arts discussion, Dallas native and acclaimed playwright Regina Taylor tells Art and Seek's Hadi Bawagdi how housing insecurity inspired her newest play.
So I want to talk about your new play, Bread. It's about a financially struggling family from Oak Cliff. On top of that, there's America's political instability, the threat of gentrification, and so many things upon this family's head. I'm curious, where did this narrative come from?
This narrative comes from what's happening in the world at this present moment. The parents are under 40. They have their first male son. They're about to give birth to their second male son. And the wife is way overdue because she's afraid to push her hopes, her dreams into this very unpredictable world. Bread is about that which sustains, what nourishes us, whether that's spiritual or whether that's money. And each person is weighing the cost of the American dream and trying to find that recipe, what's going to work for them. And they're trying to impart that recipe onto the next generation.
You know, some of the best American plays have been written about the hardest times, women's lib, the civil rights movement, the Great Depression. And I'm curious why you feel it's important to write about this moment and what you hope we remember from this moment.
I write what's on my mind, the questions that I have about the world that I'm living in, about myself. That's where my plays begin. So this is what's on my mind, and I felt an urgency, a need to set that down and to share.
So I have sort of a question that leaves the theater a little bit, but will bring us back. In entertainment right now, we're sort of seeing a movement with African-American storytellers. There were folks like Donald Glover and Issa Rae who are having great years in television, and then folks like Ava DuVernay and Barry Jenkins who are bringing truly African-American narratives to the big screen. And I wonder if you feel as though that happens enough in the American theater.
In the American theater, I think we are having a great surge of African-American voices. There are more African-American writers having productions across the country, and I find that's very heartening, that's very exciting. You have various voices, because we always talk in terms of black and white, but there are others from other walks of life who are American that we don't talk about. We are a culture that is all-encompassing, and I think we need to start talking about those other voices as well.
You're an award-winning performer, now an award-winning playwright and director, and I'm curious, did you always know you were going to be a storyteller?
Yes. I've been writing from as far back as I can remember. One of my earliest memories was being on the floor with crayons, paper, pencils, writing children's books. I may have been 3-4 years old, and it was my mother's hand on mine, and that was the greatest gift she gave me, was how to navigate creativity, to embrace creativity, to start with the imagination, and to plan a course of action, to roll up your sleeves, and to work really hard to make those dreams concrete.
Bread is making a world premiere at Water Tower Theater, and I'm curious what it means to you to have a play like this debut about Dallas so close to home.
Yes, I needed to write something that was about where I'm from, the soil that I come from, to see how I got to where I am right now and where I imagine things might be going from here. I needed to return to Dallas, Texas, in order to grapple with the issues that were on my mind, are on my mind at this present moment. I'm very happy, very proud that its premiere is here for these audiences.
Well, Regina Taylor, thank you so much for taking some time to chat with me. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bread is showing at Water Tower Theater in Addison. Head to artandseek.org for details. For the evening, mostly clear skies with a low around 54. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high around 83. At 6:33, this is KERA News.